Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Atomic Timekeeping Podcast, a podcast about the most accurate clocks ever built. I'm Greg Anderson. Some people call me Elmer and Atomic Elmer. I want to tell you a little bit today on this podcast about radio-controlled clocks. This is a way that you and I, without spending a lot of money, can have clocks in our homes or even on our wrists that give us the most accurate time possible. In the first podcast, I told you about listening to WWV on a shortwave radio in the 1980s in order to set my digital watch to the right time. Things have become a bit simpler than that. See, in the mid-1990s, those gadget catalogs that you might look through sometime in the days before the internet, you know, you used to get catalogs in the mail, they started selling radio-controlled clocks. And these are clocks which contain little radio receivers, and they can periodically tune in to a radio station that broadcasts time data on long-wave radio frequencies. And these clocks can then interpret the time data and set themselves to the correct time right down to the second. So you, as the user, really don't have to do much except put a battery in that clock, maybe set the time zone, and then the clock does the rest. The clock comes up at the right time and maintains itself accurately from then on until the batteries need to be replaced. So this is great. Most of these clocks, they use regular quartz-based movements inside. So most of the time, they are keeping time according to a quartz movement inside, which, you know, is not the most accurate stuff, but it's good enough because what happens is these clocks, at least once a day, depending on what model you've got, some of them multiple times a day, they will turn on their little radio receiver and they will tune in to usually a station called WWVB, and this station broadcasts time data from Colorado that will reach all parts of North America, especially overnight. These long-range radio frequencies, they're very similar to the shortwave radio stations. The broadcast goes out and bounces off of the atmosphere and reflects off the ground and then against the atmosphere again and then the ground, and then so they can go thousands of miles and you can receive this this broadcast where you are. So these clocks will pick that up, and as long as reception is good, these clocks never go too far away from the correct time using their little quartz movements. If they're able to tune in every day, you know, the clock could only be off by very, very small fractions of a second. And for most of us, we're not doing scientific, you know, minute little experiments or whatever we need this correct time for. If you just want to make sure your wristwatch is right, I think you're going to be satisfied with a radio-controlled watch. Or if you want your alarm clock to be right, a radio-controlled clock that uses WWVB to set itself. Now, first time I saw a consumer-grade radio-controlled clock, it was late 1995, and it cost $200. And I thought that was a bit pricey at the time, but I'd been wanting a clock like that for a while, so I figured, well, it was worth it. And in hindsight, it really is. This was a Junghans Mega clock. I've had it, again, since late 1995. It still looks like it's brand new. It still runs like it's brand new. Has never given me any trouble. Never needed to be repaired or adjusted. The only thing I ever have done with it is, you know, put a fresh battery in it from time to time. And so it's a great clock. The Junghans Mega clock that I bought is an analog clock, and I'm afraid I don't think they have anything like it anymore out on the market. I think they just stopped producing that particular clock. It's an analog clock, hour, minute, and second hand. And at the bottom of the face, there's a little LCD readout showing the month and the date. And also, it has a little map of the continental United States to indicate your selected time zone. So you've got the four main time zones of the United States that you can select on this clock. So you can imagine how excited I was the first time I put a battery in this clock, my very first radio-controlled clock. And I set the time zone, and then I just put the clock down and, you know, watched it go. And the hands spun around, zipped around to the 12 o'clock straight-up position, and then paused for a moment, and then started to tick. And within a couple of minutes, it had received the time data from WWVB. It had interpreted that time data, and then the hand started to spin around at faster than normal speed to reach the correct time. And then the clock just ran like a normal clock with the date readout on the bottom. And I was very excited about that. But then it just ran like a normal clock, so that wasn't very exciting. So you can imagine, I probably took the battery out of that clock a couple of times each week and made it reset itself just for the thrill of seeing how that was done. Or if I went to visit friends or whatever, I would take the clock with me with the battery out and I'd stick the battery in and show them how it was done. And it was very exciting, you know, worth every penny of that $200 I spent. The interesting thing about that first mega clock that I bought was there was no way to manually set the time. If that clock could not receive the time data from WWVB, it would run, but you know you'd have to put the battery in right at 12 o'clock in order for it to maintain some form of accurate time. Eventually, you know, if it could receive the radio signal later, it would go ahead and set itself and be correct. But other than that, just couldn't go. One thing to take note of with these radio-controlled clocks is because of the nature of the frequencies that it's receiving, there can be interference from any number of devices or you know, even the building that you're in. So, for example, if you're in a building with a lot of steel construction or, you know, reinforced concrete with a lot of steel rebar running through the concrete, any building like that, so a lot of shopping malls or, you know, factory situations, those kinds of buildings, sometimes that steel blocks the reception and these clocks will not be able to receive WWVB within buildings like that. If the clock is too close to an appliance with an electrical motor, or maybe a computer monitor that's putting out some electromagnetic fields around it. Those sorts of things can interfere with the WWVB reception. So you got to be a little bit careful. What I've found is if you've got a portable AM radio, maybe a little like a Walkman with a radio built in, and you can tune in AM radio. There are places where it's very difficult to receive AM radio, and basically they are the same places where it's difficult to receive the WWVB signal. So if you have a little portable radio, go ahead and put that next to your computer or take it in a shopping mall or put it, you know, just kind of go around your house and see where it's very difficult for your AM radio to receive anything. And then that'll be the place where you don't want to put your atomic clock, or I would say your radio-controlled clock, because I need to be a little more specific about that. There is an atomic clock, but this little radio-controlled clock you bought, even though it might have said atomic clock on the package, well, obviously it's not an atomic clock. It's just a radio-controlled clock. So, okay, I'll try to be careful about that. I should also mention, you know, one of the greatest features of these radio-controlled clocks for most people is the fact that they will set themselves according to the changes in for daylight saving time. So, you know, they'll move ahead or move back according to when those daylight saving time adjustments are supposed to be made. So, you know, I, of course, was tempted to stay up all night when I got my first radio-controlled clock, and it was time for the daylight saving time change. You know, I was going to stay up all night and, you know, watch this thing and see when it would change. And I don't remember if I actually did that, you know, the first opportunity. I think there was one time when the time change happened, and I just happened to have been out late that night, and by the time I got home, it was almost time for the time to change, and I watched it. It was very thrilling as the hour hand just moved to the new time, and woo, lots of fun. Anyway, as you can imagine, I really liked my Junghans Mega Clock, and since it was always displaying the correct time, I pretty much never used the shortwave radio again to listen to the WWV announcements on the air. You know, I just had my clock there that was right anyway. But I was really hoping for a better variety of radio-controlled clocks. I was a clock collector, and I had one radio-controlled clock. I thought, well, I'd like to have two, three, maybe a dozen of these things, but, you know, in different styles and sizes and stuff. So I was anxiously awaiting different manufacturers to come out with, different models. A few months later, I saw an ad in another gadget catalog for a small little LCD digital alarm clock, which was also radio controlled, a little thing called the Time Machine, from a company that I hadn't heard of before called Oregon Scientific. And this was not any bigger than the kind of bedside alarm clock you might just go buy down at the store for $15 or $20. But since it was radio-controlled, it was priced a little bit higher. It was $100 for this little radio-controlled alarm clock that didn't do much more than a $20 alarm clock, except that, you know, it set itself to the right time. So again, I wasn't that thrilled about the price, but I was interested in getting a second radio-controlled clock, super accurate. So I bought it, and I was very happy with that one, too. It worked exactly like it was supposed to, so Oregon Scientific became a very interesting company all of a sudden. Now, keeping in mind, this was still 1996, and these clocks, they were getting their data from WWVB, and the transmitter power from WWVB was not as strong back then as it is today. In fact, it was 1999 that they significantly increased the transmitter power from their transmitter in Colorado. And that's a good central location for the continental United States, and you can, you know, receive this all over the continental United States. For me, it was especially good because I was only about 350 miles away at this time. I was living in Utah, so only about 350 miles away from the WWVB transmitter, so I was getting great radio reception. My radio control clocks were all working very well. But before 1999, since the transmitter power was lower, it was a little difficult for some models of clocks to receive as they should. So this first Oregon Scientific clock I had actually had an external antenna. There was a cord, I don't know, maybe 30 inches long between the clock and this little external antenna, which was just a kind of a little cylindrical thing, maybe about the size of a package of Lifesavers candy. So you could, if you were in an area that was where it was difficult to receive, the time data, you could put your clock where you wanted to, and you had maybe 30 inches of play, and you could kind of set the antenna somewhere else and orient it just right until you picked up the time data. Most clocks do not bother with the external antennas anymore because, like I said, since 1999, the transmitter power has been greatly increased. So, by now I was really enjoying my two radio-controlled clocks, but you know, I'd been a clock collector for a while and I wanted more. And I started to think it would be fun if there was some way you could just replace the mechanisms or the movements and some of the just regular quartz clocks that I already had, and just change them out for maybe a radio-controlled clock movement, if there was such a thing. And it took a few months, but eventually, yes, I did find in a catalog, there was a company out of Wisconsin called Clock Kit, and that's spelled with a K. It's K-L-O-C-K-I-T. So I don't know, Clock Kit, Clock It. They sell a lot of clock components and kits, just about anything. If you're into, you know, you want to make clocks out of wood or plastic or just about any kind of clock you might want to build yourself, these guys at Clock Kit have the components, the mechanisms, the different styles of hands, and just about everything you would want to build your own clock. And they just happen to start selling a radio-controlled clock movement that was a little bit larger than your standard AA-powered quartz clock movement. But for most of the clocks I had, I could replace the standard movement that I had with the radio-controlled movement, and I could have, you know, my extensive clock collection converted over to radio control, and I was very, very excited about this. So suddenly I had dozens of super accurate radio controlled clocks throughout my house, all ticking away at exactly the same time. And that was a lot of fun. So this is now the late 90s. These things are starting to become common. Unfortunately, most people didn't know what this was all about. If you go down to your local, you know, Target store and they have, you know, atomic clock, or maybe the package was more accurate than that and said radio-controlled clock. And most people, they didn't know what that meant. They'd look at the clock and say, well, maybe it's not a very pretty clock, or, you know, it costs $5 more than that clock next to it, so I'll go ahead and buy the cheaper clock. And so it was very difficult for the masses to kind of know, what are these radio-controlled clocks? Why are they so special? Why would I want one? Why would I want to spend $5 extra for that one than just a regular clock that's sitting next to it? So I decided, you know, I needed to kind of spread the word and help people to understand what this was all about. And so I started a little web page on a free website service in 1998. And one of the topics that I covered on my little personal web pages there was radio-controlled clocks. And I had pictures and I had links to places where you could buy them. And I had explanations of, well, what are these things and why are they so neat and why do I like them so much? So It's still all these years later, a lot of people are unaware of what these things are. I think a lot of people would enjoy them if they understood, if for nothing else, the fact that these clocks will adjust themselves for daylight saving time. I think a lot of people would get them just for that reason alone and be glad to spend the extra $5 or whatever it's going to be to get a radio-controlled clock. So, yeah, so go out and spread the word, help people understand. It's been a lot of really neat varieties of radio control clocks that have come out over the years. So I'd like to talk more about that in the next podcast, maybe cut this one off for now, and we'll talk more about radio controlled clocks and how much fun they are in the next episode of the Atomic Timekeeping Podcast. Again, thanks for joining me on this podcast. If you have any feedback, questions, comments, I will accept your emails at this address, atomicelmer@gmail.com. That's atomicelmer@gmail.com. If you include your name and the city where you live, that might make it fun if I decide I'm going to quote a portion of your email here on the podcast. And it'd be fun to see who's out there. Where is everybody who's listening, and what do you want to hear about? What do you want to talk about? So again, thanks, and we'll see you on the next Atomic Timekeeping Podcast.